I'm Mohawk Matt, and this is By Hair, Land, and Sea, where we will bridge the gap and have conversations that need to happen. After spending 13 years, both as an active duty Marine and then a Navy civilian, I am now on a mission to serve our nation by providing a megaphone for the right people at the right time. Join me and my guest as we remove barriers so that you can do what you do best. Be awesome. See you in the trenches. What's going on, everyone? Super excited to be here for another episode of By Hair, Land, and Sea. And today we're going to talk about air, land, and sea, things that they do. They have an awesome phrase. I'm going to have our guest explain that more so I don't mess it up. But today I've got the wonderful Mike Benzlowitz. Mike, how's it going?
It's going real well. Going real well.
Good. People also know you as BZ, right?
That's right. Common name, BZ. Very easy to remember.
There you go. Oh, Benzlowitz kind of works too because the Benz. And your job, and
hopefully never get the Benz.
Yeah, that's the goal. I mean, you already have the Benz, so that means you're good.
That's right. I'm good to go.
You get it once, you don't get it again. Yeah,
that's right.
I like it. So you're with the Naval Oceanography Command.
I work for CENMOC, Commander of Naval Oceanography and Meteorology Command. Admiral Perret is my comm. I've been working in Naval Oceanography for well over 35 years. Right now on command staff, I'm Deputy Director of Operations at CENMOC, so we handle all the S3, S4 deployments, Ash-5 deployments for the command. We operate the mock center and are the eyes and ears for the Admiral.
Wow. So you've been in oceanography for 35 years, is that what you said?
35 years.
So you've seen the technology go from...
I went from two colored pencils to draw charts, green and brown, and paper charts, and Mylar charts, to digital charting, to multi-beam sonars, and all the way up through being a program director for unmanned systems for 7 or 8 years. And running unmanned systems actually since its inception in naval meteorology back in 1996. I started to develop the CONOPS and the plans for operating unmanned systems. They've grown in leaps and bounds. Navy METOC was very early into unmanned systems. Primarily, we were a bunch of scientists and engineers, and it was easy for us to adapt to the new technology. The greater Navy as a whole is seeing it as a way of advancing reduced force structures, personnel, but also maintaining their presence, utilizing equipment that are their eyes and ears in the oceans. Subsurface, surface, and up in the air. So although we've been in it for quite a long time, we're a very little known resource for the Navy, but we provide a very important part of the Navy's needs and requirements on a day-to-day basis. So we like to say that the Navy's day begins with us. Everybody checks the weather first thing in the morning, and we provide that weather resource to everybody in the Navy.
And I recently learned from some of your colleagues across oceanography field, it's more than just checking the app on your phone. I mean, for me, that's all I do. Because you guys do a lot more than that.
We do a lot more than that. We provide not only weather services, we provide information that supports precise timing and navigation through our asset at the Naval Observatory. We have advanced forward-based weather services, FWC San Diego, FWC Norfolk. We also have FGOTs that support big carrier deck operations and flight operations on carriers. Anytime there are independent operators that go out, we provide METOC personnel that support those operations so that they have accurate weather in their theater of operations.
Okay. So. I thought the Naval Observatory was just a house.
No, it's not just a house. And it's not someplace you go and lift your shirt up and look at your navel either, which is it's very famous for.
Okay.
The Naval Observatory is a key asset in GPS navigation, providing the precise timing for all our GPS satellites. So it's a little known aspect of what we do, but it's a very important aspect. So every time you use your cell phone to navigate inside city streets and moving your way across country or finding your favorite pizza joint or beer joint in your case.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It may be something that you have in the back of your head that Naval Oceanography is there supporting you one way or
That's
another.
That's good to know.
Good to know.
I like that. I mean, the only way I've seen like the Naval thing outside of like the Navy stuff is the Naval clock that's in D.C.,
and the atomic clock is one of the key aspects of naval oceanography. We run that for everybody. Precise timing is our thing.
Well, and what is that phrase you guys use for oceanography? It's like seabed to stars or something?
Seabed to stars.
Okay.
So that's correct. So we have assets that can map the world's oceans to the deepest depths, both unmanned. We provide submarine navigation, charting information, everything through the seabed, ASW, anti-submarine warfare, seabed warfare, working our way up to surface warfare and the EM products that we provide, and then all the way to stellar navigation in case GPS goes down. We are testing and evaluating systems that can use the stars again from the day of old, where we used to use a sextant. Now we're using automated systems that will detect star-based navigation in case GPS goes down.
You mean, I thought you just put your hand up to the stars and just kind of go like this.
No, we're not Moana.
No,
we don't. We also don't stick our hand in warm water.
Okay.
We have sensors that do that for us, so our fingers don't get sticky and stinky.
That's fair.
But yeah, we.
You also have a pretty long arm to hang your arm over the ship.
You do. If you want to, yes, the arm. Oh, we'll stick with that story. Anyway, it's very important for everyone to understand that, you know, there's been a wealth of oceanography through all different types of previous generations of navigation, and we have adapted all that to the modern systems that we use today. It's still, some of it's still very relevant, you know, knowing the currents, knowing the tides, knowing the stars, still plays an important role in modern Navy navigation and precise timing. And safety for our forces, and that's what we're there for.
So you've been in this for 35 years. Do you have any stories or anything you can share? I'm sure you got lots of stories.
Tons of stories. I've got a little over 10 years of my career of 35 years physically on surface platforms, subsurface platforms, small submersibles, all the way up to operations in the air with airborne LIDAR, flying in a DC-3 over jungles of Central America. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's been a very exciting career. Traveled many places, almost every place that has a coastline I've been off of. Been within 400 miles of the North Pole. Of course, they didn't send me under the ice, but I've been real close on all seven continents.
Under the ice?
Or all six of the seven.
What do you mean under the ice?
I have not been under the ice.
Oh.
I've been right up to the ice edge. Unfortunately, I never made it to the North Pole. But
do people go under the ice?
They have submarine forces that go under the ice, and we provide
that. Oh, submarine. See? Yeah. Marine. I don't
know. No.
Submarine thing.
Submarine.
I'm just regular Marine.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough concept for the Marines and your two brain cells to understand, but you know the Navy's there to help carry you around the world and take care of you and make
my ass rides in Navy equipment, right?
That's right. We're the Marine Corps Uber, so yeah. Call us and we'll take you there.
Only if I could do it on my phone.
I'm sure you can. You'll get somebody to show up.
Oh, might not be going to the place I want to go.
And you've probably been to places I don't want to go. Fair is fair.
No, the story's for a different time.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, I very early in my career, part of my attraction to this type of job was the travel. Very fortunate in my life, you know, when people say, my God, you've been God 10 years out of 35. How is that on the family life? And the little personal information, you know, both my wife and I are from Navy families and understood the call to duty and the supporting of the forces. Although I've never been active duty as a civilian, I like to think that I've been right there hand in hand with members of the armed forces in all capacities and supporting them in one way or another so that they, you know, they could bring the fight. The civilian aspect of this, our command is comprised of probably 90% civilian personnel, at least in the aspects that I've worked in at CINMOC and NAVO. Easily 90-95% are civilian, but we're right there with the forces.
And I love that you've highlighted that because there is a certain level of respect for those that put the uniform on. But there should be the same to close level respect for the civilian work because there's so much that happens that you guys do hand in hand to make them more capable.
So I don't want to belittle the civilian aspect. We know our place, and that is we are direct support personnel for the uniformed services so they can execute their mission, which is, you know, bring a burden to bear on our enemy if they do something that we don't like. And in that regard, it's very important for me to get it right each and every time, because as we've seen some recent instances of accidents and things that have occurred with larger vessels, submarines, for instance, the information that we provide is critical to their safety and the well-being of the personnel on board. You know, personnel first, material second, but we'd like to bring everybody home, and we don't want to have the burden of knowing that there's something that maybe we could have done just a little bit better. So as scientists and engineers, technicians, the civilians of the Naval Oceanographic Office and in Naval Oceanography and Meteorology understand our place, but understand that we're there to support the military in everything that they do.
It's fantastic. Through all the support that you've given, what's the funnest thing that you ever did in the job?
The funnest thing I've ever done in the job.
That you can share.
I've run quite a few missions with unmanned systems that have made discoveries that, you know, we could talk about. We're there to map and chart the world's oceans for safety of navigation and precise navigation. But occasionally you come across, you know, some ancient shipwrecks that, particularly in the Mediterranean theater where there are a dime a dozen, and you get to see some things that are 2,000 or 3,000 years old that, you know, never seen human eyes since before they went below the waves. And I've had the opportunity to see some of those things. And I know that later on, Bob Ballard of the Titanic fame went back and utilized some of that information for doing some ancient shipwreck rediscoveries. So that's one of the biggest things that I think in my career I was very helpful for and working with.
Yeah, I love it. That is so cool that you get, I mean, you get to do your Navy job, but you also get to see some of the cool history across the world that's buried under the ocean.
Well, absolutely.
That's
you know, and I mean, that's not the purpose of our being, but certainly we have opportunities to do things that not a lot of other people say and do or get to do, and it's exciting. It's very exciting. The oceans that we map, the waters that we map, it, you know, it's the first time that they've ever been placed on a chart accurately. Yeah. So
I love it. I love it. Is there anything else you want to talk about or share about what you've done, National Oceanography? People, why should people contact you? Like, why should people across the Navy reach out to you that you could help with?
So I think it's very important that people understand that, you know, we are a small government organization, but we provide a great benefit to the Navy. Why should they contact us? Why should they want to know about naval oceanography? It's a very exciting career. It's been a career path that has led me to, like I said, 6 of the 7 continents. I unfortunately have not made it to Antarctica, but, you know, I've seen everything in the world that I've wanted to see. The travel aspect was very exciting, but the job itself was very worthwhile, and I've made lifelong friends in that job. Many I get to see again and again when I come to these conferences.
That's awesome.
And reminisce about the past.
That's great. That's great. Anything else you want to share about what you do or people should know?
You know, if we're on the internet, we have a great Facebook page set up by our PAO. You know, if you could directly contact me through there, just BZ or place a call. I'm readily available to talk to anybody. We have great STEM programs that we take in younger students through high school. The educational opportunities when working with Naval Oceanography, the Navy paid for my master's degree. So great opportunities working for this command, and it's a very exciting career path if anybody wants to take it.
Fantastic. So one last thing I got to ask is BZ. Did the Navy get BZ from you, or did you get it from the Navy?
So the Navy gave me BZ as a very junior first-time traveler on a ship. But way back in the day, the schedule board for rooms and everything had small squares, and Benzlowitz did not fit properly into that small square.
Oh.
So I passed on the name Flounder. that was already taken in a movie scene, so I went ahead and got the nickname BZ from a seaman on that very first trip that said, your new nickname is BZ.
All right.
It's lived on ever since.
And
I like to think in some aspects of 35 years I've earned it.
For those that don't know, BZ is a very term of endearment. Bravo Zulu is like a term of gratitude. So you say you've earned it. I'm sure you have 35 years.
That's I hope fantastic. I have. You know, I don't like to tout my own recognition, but I'm glad to know that BZ is well known. People who recognize that name, that moniker, have walked up to me and say, I know you as BZ. We've talked in the past via email or talk fast for VTCs, and it's always gratifying to know people will allow me to continue to use that moniker as a nickname.
Fantastic. Well, Mike, thanks for coming on and sharing your knowledge and your head. And I didn't know you could go under the ice, you know, Marines, but
you can. Pretty you can. Cool. You have to ride with submariners, and that's another special crowd of people that we don't talk about.
Fantastic. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Super fun conversation. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. And if you got questions, reach out to Naval Oceanography Command. Reach out to me. I'll get you hooked up with BZ. He'll get you taken care of.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Great.